We are recording today on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Coast Salish and Kwakwaka'wakw peoples, including Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish, Musqueam, and Comox First Nations. Hello and welcome to Love to Sew. I'm Caroline, the owner of Blackbird Fabrics and BF Patterns.
And I'm Helen, the designer behind Helen's Closet Patterns and Cedar Quilt Co.
We're two sewing buds who love to sew, and it's all we know how to talk about.
In this episode, we share our listeners' stories and suggestions for sewing with others. We chat about guilds, clubs, classes, Zoom socials, friend meetups, and even sewing birthday parties. And we share our own stories too.
If you love to sew, this is your show. Hi, Helen.
Hi, Caroline.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. This is our last episode of the season.
I know. That went by fast.
It really did. Yeah.
It was a good one, though. I had so much fun doing all of our We Sew projects, and I loved all of our guests this season. It's been a blast.
It's been such a blast. I have to say, highlight for me, We Sew Scraps.
It's true. That was just last week. And I re-listened to that one because I remember having such a good time recording it.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to listen back, and I had a great time listening.
Oh, okay. I got to go back and listen. I've just been enjoying sharing about the process over on socials this week. And yeah, I had such so much fun. And I've been actually getting a lot of wear out of my jacket because it's been chilly in Vancouver.
There you go. It happened. It got cold again.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I think a highlight for me, and only me probably, was our 300th episode. No, I'm joking. Oh, it was so special. It was such a good episode.
I know.
Amazing to celebrate.
I can't believe we're past 300 now. It's just wild. We've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, just going to keep on going. We got to plan the next season.
Yeah, I know. Clock's ticking. Well, listeners, if you want to catch up with us on the off season, you can join us over on Patreon or Apple Podcasts. That is the best way to support Love to Sew. You can join us over there. There's a subscription on Apple Podcasts and Patreon, and we'd love to see you.
Yes, you get access to bonus content every month. We do episodes where we catch up and talk about our lives. I'm actually having my wedding this summer. Sam and I are finally tying the knot. And so there's a lot of behind the scenes planning, dressmaking, all that fun stuff happening. So if you want to hear about that, join us over on Patreon. It really means so much to us if you're able to support us, even if it's just for a month or two. And if that's not in the cards for you right now, we totally understand. We just love that you are here listening.
Yeah, we love it. Thank you so much. And if you want to support us for free, you can actually go rate us or review us over on Apple Podcasts. And we haven't asked for this in a little while, and it would really, really help us. We'd love to get some more recent reviews up on there. So please go do that. We'd be so thankful.
Yes. Thank you. Okay, Caroline, before we get into this in-person sewing meetups chat, we're going to start off this episode with some listener feedback. We've got a voicemail here from Amanda. Let's do it.
Hi, Love to Sew podcast. It's Amanda from Los Angeles, California. I was listening to a recent podcast episode and wanted to share about the names of my sewing machines. I crowdsourced for the name of my most recent sewing machine, and the winner was Hemingway. Even though I hate hemming, it's one of my least favorite sewing tasks, I decided to adopt the name because I love a good pun. And for my two vintage machines, I asked my boyfriend for name suggestions. And for my 401A, he decided that it was appropriate to name her Ella Fitzgerald because she's a powerful singer. And for the second one, he decided that it would be a good idea to call it Ariana Grande because it's a featherweight singer. So I guess punny names are where I go for my sewing machines. Bye.
This is so punny, Amanda. I think everyone who has a singer machine should be naming it after a real life singer. We have some ideas for folks.
Yes, I love this concept so much.
Yes. Okay, so you could name your machine Adele after a beautiful singer.
That's true. A beloved singer, maybe Whitney Houston.
Oh my gosh, Whitney Houston. Love her. A fussy singer, Mariah Carey. No offense to Mariah.
She knows.
Yeah.
a loud singer, maybe Sia.
Yeah, you could do an old singer, Barbra Streisand. Oh, I love it.
Babs, this is my machine, Babs.
Oh.
Oh, it's such a great concept. I wish I had a singer in my collection right now to name Beyonce. I would just name her Beyonce, obviously.
Yeah, 100%. I know I don't have a singer either, so we'll have to rectify that so I can name her
Taylor Swift. I like the featherweight Ariana Grande singer. That's what my mom has, so maybe I'll inherit an Ariana Grande one day.
Amazing. Oh, well, thank you so much for calling in, Amanda.
Yes.
Next up, we have a question from Dana. Dana wrote, I've been sewing clothes for a couple years now. I started by sewing dresses for my little girl, and then I got brave enough to start sewing for myself. I'm hooked. I would love to sew some things for my husband, but it's tricky because he's on the larger side and it's hard to find patterns. Do you know a source for plus size men's patterns, especially more complicated things like blazers or suits? Thank you. I really enjoy your podcast.
Hi, Dana. Okay, you are definitely right. Men's sewing patterns are harder to find than women's patterns, but they are out there. Many of them are more casual. We even have some casual men's sewing patterns in the Helen's Closet pattern collection, but it's challenging to find those nicer pieces like fitted blazers and suits. And those are also challenging to make without some experience in tailoring. So we do have some places to start looking for patterns and resources. Simplicity has a couple of blazer patterns that go up to a 52-inch chest. One of them was designed by a former guest on the pod, Mimi G. Bootstrap Fashion has a couple of options for blazers. If you're not familiar, this company makes custom patterns based on a bunch of measurements. So you could measure your husband to get those numbers, enter them, and they'll make the pattern for you. And that's a really good starting place for your project.
Ooh, yeah, that's a great one. Free Sewing also has the Jagger jacket. And this site also makes custom patterns, but they're actually free. As for pants, you can use any dress pants pattern that you can find. I would just use the same fabric as the blazer, and that will make a suit for you. There are a lot more options for pants patterns for men out there, I think, than other types of patterns.
True. And we found a couple of resources for indie pattern companies that make plus size men's patterns. So we'll link them up for you in the show notes, a couple of lists out there. And you also might want to look up some tailoring techniques before you make a suit jacket. So we have a few episodes that might help with that. Episode 188, Tailoring for Them with Amelia Bergoglio, and episode 266, Jackets.
And Closet Core's Jessica Blazer resources are really helpful too, so we'll link that up for you. And have so much fun sewing for your husband, Dana. He is one lucky guy.
Yeah, he is. I really enjoy sewing for Sam when I do get around to it. And he wears the pieces that I make him a lot. And that is honestly the best feeling. It's so satisfying. Yeah.
I need to sew more for Shay. Poor guy.
He's fine. He's got you.
All right, let's get on to the show. So sewing is a solitary activity for a lot of us. And there are nice things about sewing alone, listening to a podcast, wink, wink, getting totally absorbed in your work, having the time to think about life. I personally love watching a little Netflix documentary, a murder show.
Yeah.
But sewing with others is also amazing, and it can be so energizing to be around other creative people. You can bounce ideas off them, get inspired by their projects, learn tips and techniques from them, and you can nurture a friendship while you get sewing done. That feels so good. I know Helen and I both have experience with this. So we're going to share a bunch of stories from our listeners today about how they sew with other people. But before we get into that, I feel like we should share some of our own stories of sewing IRL, which means in real life, by the way.
Yes, I really love sewing in person with other people. I also enjoy sewing by myself, and I do that a lot. But I will say that my sewing with other people time is precious to me. It is so special and so fun. And I have a weekly sewing date with a couple of friends, and we get together on Tuesday nights for 2 hours, 7 to 9 p.m., and we sew together. And we don't always make a ton of progress. Some nights we're like on fire and we get so much done. And some nights it's like a lot of chit chat, a lot of like, you know, not necessarily your head's in the zone of the sewing part of it. And so you may not make that much progress, but just being together in person and bouncing ideas off each other and trying things on and showing it off when you finish, it's so much fun. And that time is really special to me in part too, because I set it aside as my personal sewing time and I separate that from my work. So I don't work on work stuff. I just think, what do I want to sew? What am I interested in making? And that Tuesday night time is like the time that I am guaranteed to get that sewing time that's not related to work. So that's been really nice.
That's so great. And kudos to you for doing this weekly. I feel like carving out time weekly can be challenging when you're busy and you work and life and other social commitments.
It's so true. Yeah. It can be really challenging. I think the three of us have made it a high priority, and that helps a lot. And also, because there's three of us, if one of us can't make it, that's okay. We do it anyways, you know? So we have like, there's a contingency plan almost.
Yeah.
If you have three people, then at least you'll have two people.
Yeah.
And then often we have all three. And even when I'm away, because I host it at my studio, because I have the large space and the big table, and that's all, it's all set up and ready to go. So they come to my house. And even when I'm away, they do it without me.
Oh, yeah. Your house?
At my house. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
They're like, I'll just let myself in. Thank you.
They have the door code and they just come over and they sew without me. And I love that.
Oh, my gosh. I love that too. That's so funny. Adriana comes over and sews when I'm not here as well sometimes, which I think is awesome. And I love that she uses the space. But yes, I also love sewing with other people. I don't do it as much as you do, but having my sister-in-law, Adriana, learn how to sew has been so wonderful. She truly has the sewing bug right now. She was over at my house sewing all day yesterday while I was at work.
Amazing. Didn't she just have a baby like 2 seconds ago?
She had a baby a couple months ago. She's on mat leave right now. And now that the baby's, you know, sleeping a little bit more, I think she's just like really thinking about what she wants to sew. So yeah, it's really nice that she comes over and uses my space. And once in a while I join her, but my space at home is like kind of small to have two people sewing in. So often it's just me sort of like supporting her if she needs help. She's even brought a friend over here to sew together, work on a project together in the space here.
That's nice.
Which is so sweet. And she comes over to the warehouse to cut out projects as well. But yeah, I mean, we've done sewing days on Zoom with our friend who lives in Calgary.
Yeah. And I love those too. That has been so special as well, getting together, especially with somebody who lives out of town. She wouldn't normally get to see them.
Yes.
But it feels like old times, like we're just hanging out sewings. Yeah. We used to do it in person, and doing it on Zoom is a little different, but honestly, it's mostly the same. You know, there's the whir of the machine.
Yeah.
Oftentimes we're just quietly working away and then somebody will kind of wander over there to their computer and be like, hey, what do you guys think about this?
Yeah. I know, it's so great. There's always the, like, you know, 30 to 45 minutes of catch up at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then we get into our projects. It's fun to talk about what we're working on. And yeah, it's just, it's such a good vibe. I love it. Yeah. And like you said, often that's the only time that I really get to work on a project that's just for me, you know, that's not really work related, which I love. I also love like low stakes sewing get togethers at work. Oftentimes we'll just like stay after work to cut out a project. And it's just like an hour. A bunch of us are cutting. There's no machines. We get to use the big tables. We get to talk about what we're working on and, you know, support each other.
Totally. You know? Yeah. And you can do like more themed get togethers like that. It doesn't always have to be bringing the machines and setting up the irons and everything. Yeah. Like cutting out projects or even just cutting out patterns, paper and scissors is that's time consuming. And it's quite nice to do it with friends and chat at the same time. So
totally. Yeah. And we've both been on sewing retreats, which has been really lovely. And that's a really great way to kind of fit in a lot of sewing into a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Get a lot done.
I always leave sewing and quilting retreats feeling on top of the world, honestly.
Yeah.
Like my cup is so full. My heart is so full. I love getting away. I love big things. Like we've done camp workroom social with tons of people and meeting all people from all over the world and doing all sorts of fun activities in a big group. But I also love more intimate retreats with just a few people. I've done some quilting retreats with just like four or five people. And yeah. that has been really, really lovely. You spend like all this nice quality time together and it's just peaceful and pleasant.
Yeah. That sounds so nice. Yeah. And classes are great too. This is a great way to meet other sewing people in real life. It doesn't have to be a whole weekend retreat. You can just take a class maybe once a week for a few weeks, or maybe it's just one night or one intensive day. Personally, I don't think I would have learned how to do bra making if I hadn't taken a class. That yeah. was sort of the like motivation I needed to get into like a new little niche in sewing. So if there's a particular technique or type of garment that you really want to learn how to sew, but it feels intimidating, taking a class is a great way to do that. And also you get to meet sewing people IRL.
Yeah, it's so true. And you never know who you might meet. You might meet your new sewing best friend.
Totally. And also teaching family members and friends how to sew. We kind of touched on this already, but I cannot wait to teach my nieces and nephew how to sew if they want to. I really, really look forward to that because it's just so fun to see somebody get into sewing in those early stages of excitement where they're discovering new patterns and learning how to pick the right fabric. And I'm like, I can be your support for that. I love
yeah, it. I can be your guide. Exactly. Yeah. No, it is really satisfying. I haven't taught like one-on-one somebody how to sew in a while, but I have gotten people into it. I've been the catalyst for them wanting to learn more. And I definitely enjoy being the guide and teaching them about what fabric to choose and going to the fabric store with them and helping them pick things out and give them sizing advice and stuff. It's so nice to have somebody to lean on for those yeah. kinds of things when you're starting out.
Yeah, totally. Well, we have some really great listener stories today that we want to share. Should we get into it, Helen?
Yes. First up, we have a voicemail from Amber.
Hi, Helen and Caroline. This is Amber from Bellingham, Washington. I'm just south of you in the U.S., aspiring Canadian, so that's a different topic. I use she, her pronouns, so I'm calling because I saw on social that you're asking about group sewing or sewing with other people, and this is something I'm really excited about in general, so I had to share. I'm a member of our local chapter of the Modern Quilt Guild, and our small guild organizes sew days once a quarter and weekend retreats once or twice a year. These events are my personal favorite part of the guild. For the sew days, we usually reserve a room at one of our local libraries for the day. Then one or two people volunteer to bring irons and cutting mats. Everyone brings their own machine and anything else they need for their project. We sew all day and get takeout for lunch. It's like a mini retreat. And our libraries allow us to reserve the space for free, so there's no cost. For our weekend retreats, we rent a large space. Usually the guild pays for it, and then individual members pay the guild back. Some of the places we've gone are already set up for makers, but as long as it has one big room, we can make it work. For the last few retreats, we've rented out this 100-year-old barn that was converted to a lodge and event space. It has like 6 or 7 bedrooms, and most have a bathroom attached. Usually you're sharing with one person, maybe 2 people, and we bring our own chairs and tables for this one and set up in their big event room. Just like the sew days where everyone brings their own machine. Last retreat, I brought 3 machines. My favorite machine doesn't zigzag or do buttonholes, and I also needed my serger, so I had 3 machines. And then a few people volunteer to bring ironing stuff and cutting stuff. We share meals, so usually 1 or 2 people volunteer for each meal, and everyone takes their turn with cleanup. The food is always excellent, and there's always too much of it. It's pretty great as the person in the family who's responsible for most meals to have a weekend where I can sew as much as I want, when I want, and no good food will be provided. Speaking of sew when I want, some people are up at 4 or 5 a.m. to start sewing, and we've even had someone pull an all-nighter. In between, we take walks or runs, fabric store trips, and even yoga breaks. The other thing I wanted to mention is that joining a guild is a great way to connect and stay connected with sewing friends. Even though our guild is the, quote, Bellingham Modern Quilt Guild, as you know, there's a lot of crossover in the things sewers like to sew. Many of us are also or even mostly garment makers. Some of us have a more traditional quilt background and some are really modern quilters. Our guild is so supportive, and whatever you're making, you can bring it to Sew and Tell at the monthly meeting to show it off to people who really understand and appreciate your make. Thanks for this question. Sewing with others is my absolute favorite part of my guild. Have a great day. Bye.
Aw, thank you so much, Amber. It's clear that you are very passionate about getting together to sew in person, and I absolutely love that. It's a really great idea to join a guild. A lot of people wrote to us with this idea because guilds are already set up for community events and for sharing resources, and it's just a great place to start if you're looking to meet people who are interested in the same things as you. And the Modern Quilt Guild has chapters all over the world. They're known for putting on QuiltCon, which is a major quilting convention held every year. I went last year and I actually had a quilt in the show. Yes. And it was an incredible experience to be around so many makers, like truly incredible, so much fun. So being in a quilt guild is a really great way to connect with all of those people. And we'll link up the website for this in the show notes so you can find out if you have a local chapter near you.
Yes, amazing. And if you don't have a local chapter, maybe you want to start one. Each chapter makes its own meeting schedule. Sometimes the meetups are even on Zoom and members pay dues. But from what I've read, the first meeting is free. So honestly, what do you have to lose? Check it out and maybe meet some quilters.
Yeah, exactly. It's free to try. You can just go and see if you connect with people. And what a wonderful experience to have something locally, and yeah, you can meet people who you probably never would have met otherwise in your local area and make some new friends.
Yes, it's a great idea. And Britt also wrote, I'm happy to sew solo, but I also belong to the American Sewing Guild, where I have the opportunity to join in neighborhood group meetings and two sewing retreats through the year. I've made my best friends through ASG.
This is another great sewing guild to consider. If you're worried that it will take too much of your time, you can keep in mind that it might not be that demanding. Some groups meet up like once a quarter, you know, four times a year. And even if a group meets up monthly or weekly, you can always just decide to go as often as you can or as often as you want.
Carmen wrote, I've been a member of the Australian Sewing Guild for many, many years, and I've learned so much and really enjoyed the connections. I also meet up four times a year with a group of friends to spend a day sewing. No pressure, no teaching, just chatting and sewing.
I wonder if Carmen met that smaller group of friends through the larger guild. I think that that's pretty common with big clubs. You don't have to be best friends with everybody in the group, but you might meet some people that are more kindred spirits with you and start having your own little sewing meetups on the side.
Yeah, I also really like this like quarterly meetup kind of like framework. It feels very achievable to get together once every few months instead of every month or every week for people who maybe that feels like too much. So yeah, once a quarter feels like a really nice cadence.
Yeah, it's true. It'd give you lots of time to plan your project that you're going to work on too.
Yeah.
Sarah wrote, I have loved being a part of a modern quilting guild. I've learned so much there and have really enjoyed being a part of the community. I also attend meetups of local garment sewists. Recently, I hosted what I hope will be the first of many mending clinics at our local library.
Ooh, Sarah is out and about and sewing in the community all the time. This is so cool. I wonder what the mending clinics are like. Like, do people bring their stuff that needs mending and someone mends it? Or is it a place where you can learn mending techniques from Sarah? Either way, I feel like this is such a good thing. I have been thinking about doing some sort of like a mending clinic or workshop or hosting a mending event at Blackbird. I feel like that would be so fun and also just a great excuse to get some mending done, because it's one of those things that I never feel like doing, but it would be so much more fun with a group.
It's so true. And I was thinking too, like, you don't necessarily have to teach people how to mend. It could simply be a mending meetup where you bring your mending and you do your own mending and you figure it out as you go along. And, you know, you can always Google things, but you don't necessarily have to have an instructor in these situations. Just the act of getting together to mend would be amazing.
Yeah, totally. Rada wrote, I'm an introvert and it has to be a pretty special sewing event to lure me out of my house. Those events are mending clinics I do at the San Francisco Public Library hosted by Scrap, the nonprofit I volunteer with. I get to help people extend the life of their clothes and I learn something new every time from my fellow menders. Mending is so creative. Every piece is a puzzle and I find that really rewarding.
Oh, there you go. She's helping people to actually learn how to mend. That's really cool. It reminds me of a reel I saw by Take Two Kids, which is a small business that makes children's clothes. And they set up a mending pop-up called Home Sewn Tomatoes. And the idea is that you bring your clothes that need mending and the person will applique a tomato patch over it for you. So cute.
So cute. All the signage looks like classic grocery store kind of vibe. And obviously, we love the tomatoes. Caroline, I feel like this is right up your alley.
Yes, it's so cute. I love it. I love the idea of having patches that you can pick from to cover up any holes in your garments. And I totally agree with Radha. It's really rewarding to mend because you're kind of like, you know, you're doing a puzzle. You're trying to figure out how you're going to fix something. There's always a way. Mm-hmm. So you and have to get creative.
More beautiful than it was when you started.
I know. Yeah.
I'm laughing thinking about like oftentimes the area that needs mending for me is the crotch of the pants.
Yeah.
Couple of tomatoes.
Just slap a couple tomatoes on there. That's not going to draw attention at all.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Next up, we have a comment from Trish. I go to 3 groups, but my favorite is the first one I found. It's at a community center. The people are a variety of ages and stages. We all work on our own projects and natter on about our lives. It's so good.
I love it. I hope those other 2 groups aren't listening. I'm just kidding. You're allowed to have a favorite, Trish. But yes, community centers are a great place to check for sewing groups. They tend to be low cost, donation based, or even free. And I love that Trish has 3 different groups. She's probably getting a ton of sewing done and makes lots of friends in the process.
Yes.
Adrian wrote, I've set up a monthly stitch club at our local community center. Our council gives us the venue for free and then everyone turns up with their projects. We have a few regulars, but my favorite is when new people turn up. I'm an introvert by nature, but I love seeing people connect with each other.
Oh, this is so inspiring, Adrian. See, you don't have to be an extrovert to go to a meetup or even to organize one. As long as you have a place and a regular time, the connections will happen without you even having to work too hard. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of reaching out to your local community center or council and getting a space for cheap or even free and setting up a regular meetup. All you need is basically yourself to show up and eventually more people will kind of trickle in.
Yeah, totally.
Kelly wrote, I don't have a dedicated sewing space at home, so I usually sew the most in social settings, like regular social sewing days at a community center or at retreats.
Ooh, I never thought about doing this, but it seems like some of the people who wrote to us do most of their sewing with others. And I think that's so cool. When everyone around you is sewing, you can't help but sew too. And even with all the chatting, I bet you'll still get a lot done. And it's helpful to have that sewing time blocked off on your calendar. Plus, sewing friends keep you accountable and make the best cheerleaders. It's like the best of all worlds.
It's true. You don't need to feel bad if you just cannot make sewing happen at home, if you've got too much going on or your space just doesn't accommodate it. Mm-hmm. There might be other ways that you can get some sewing in.
Yeah. La Movida Sewing and Design Studio. This is also actually a local sewing spot, Helen. They're out in Kitsilano, but they wrote, hosting the social has been incredibly rewarding. It's been so much fun to bring a bunch of sewists together in the community and see what they've been working on. We've been doing it for a little over a year now in Vancouver, and we have a handful of people who come every time, and then a few rotating people as well, and newbies every time. I definitely suggest people have sewing groups in their area because it's so inspiring to see what everyone is doing, and I think it's so important to have an opportunity to exchange knowledge and ideas.
Ooh, I love this. Small businesses like this one are a great place to look for sewing meetups or sewing nights. It seems like this one is really well set up with lots of tables and outlets, and they're very passionate about this community aspect of sewing and having a sewing studio, which is absolutely amazing. Kudos mm-hmm. to them.
Yeah.
Simone wrote, I sometimes go to small businesses for the monthly craft night and I take my machine.
Ooh, this is a great idea. A meetup group doesn't have to be sewing specific. Many crafty groups will welcome sewists. If you want to bring your machine, just check with the organizer before you go to make sure that they can accommodate you. Our assistant Lisa told us that she used to do hand sewing steps at her knitting and crochet group sometimes, and no one had a problem with it.
Imagine. They're like, those aren't knitting needles. What are you doing?
Get out.
Stop.
Wait, Helen, you have a craft group as well, don't you?
I do. I do back-to-back weekly nights, if you can believe it. Tuesday night is craft night, Wednesday night is sewing night. So those nights are both sacred to me. And I love our weekly craft night as well. Sometimes we do little sewing things, but mostly we're doing other kinds of crafts. And the person who organizes and hosts that one, Melinda, is amazing at coming up with fun ideas for us to do. And they're usually just quick. It's another 2-hour thing. So we just get together and do fun, silly Pinterest crafts together.
Oh my gosh, incredible. Your crafty calendar is stacked, Helen.
It is stacked. I know. It's amazing. I'm so lucky.
Tracy wrote, I facilitate a large meetup group 11 years running. We have swaps and sew-ins. I love to socialize with others about sewing. I also provide alterations for a living, and this helps me get inspired to make fun stuff and keep my soul alive. I love your show.
Oh, thank you, Tracy. I love that you wrote keeps your soul alive. I think a lot of us feel that way about sewing. It's cool that they also do swaps. There are so many fun things that you can combine with sewing in person, like gift exchanges, games with prizes, fabric swaps, snacks, drinks. I mean, all sorts of fun ways that you can add a little extra to your sewing meetup.
I say do it all in one. I want a day with all of these things. Sounds really
so
fun.
True. The perfect day. Rochelle wrote, hosting a PDF pattern assembly workshop this weekend to make sewing friends and reach my community. Ooh, we mentioned this earlier. I love this idea.
I know. This is so great. Workshops are a great way to sew with others too. And if the class is pretty organized, you can leave a little time for socializing at the end, or you can invite everyone to a cafe afterwards for those who want to stay and chat. Helen, I remember when we used to do our monthly, I think it was like monthly sewing meetups with our friend. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I would just bring a PDF to assemble.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't really feel like sewing, but I want to hang out. I want to get the vibes going. PDFs take forever to assemble. So I'm just going to knock this out and I don't have to lug my sewing machine over.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a great project for in-person if you're not feeling like bringing all of the supplies with you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just batching, like putting together PDFs or even cutting out projects and not actually sewing them. That's another mm-hmm. thing you can do when you get together if you don't feel like pulling out the machine. Nora wrote, I met someone at an event in town last fall, and now I have someone to text with about projects. We've also met up for open sew at a studio in town a few times. I'm so excited to keep building this friendship because none of my other friends are into sewing like this.
Aw, I love this. A blossoming friendship. Truly, no one can appreciate sewing like a fellow sewist. Like, other people can admire and be interested in what you're doing, but if they don't sew, they just don't get it.
Yeah, I agree.
You can't understand.
I know. This reminds me of our early friendship, you know, kind of getting to know each other, but also knowing that we had sewing in common. It was so fun to talk about that. And also, we both had businesses, so that added a whole other layer to it. But I have to say, my least favorite part about our We Sew episodes is that I can't text you progress updates. I often am like, gosh, I want to show this to Helen, because we have a little group chat going where sometimes we'll share in progress, or when we finish a project that we're really excited about, we'll put it up in there. And yeah, I don't have to do that with our We Sew episodes.
I know. It is truly the hardest part. I just want to show you so badly. I end up showing everybody else instead, and it's not the same.
I know.
Courtney wrote, I host a sewing retreat day with my friends. We have food delivered, so we don't even have to stop sewing. Most of us pre-cut our projects beforehand, so it's productive and fun.
This sounds so fun. I love the idea of getting food delivered as a little treat in the middle of the day. And it's a good idea to cut out your projects before you get together. There's just not enough room in most spaces to do that during a sewing session. So yeah, coming prepared does pay off.
It's true, especially if you really want to get stuff done. I do this for our weekly sewing nights because I like to leave the table free for them to use. So I try to cut everything out ahead of time and even interface ahead of time so I can just sit right down on my machine and just start sewing.
Oh, you're so concerned. Considerate. It's really nice.
It's considerate and selfish because I'm like, I want to get these pants done tonight.
Yeah, you're like, I am not sharing this table with anyone.
Stacy wrote, my favorite, now fifth year in a row, Sew Rogue Retreat, where we find a random Airbnb in the middle distance between three friends spread out over Europe and sew for 4 days uninterrupted, away from the outside world, comfy clothes and snacks, no laboring, just sewing and rest.
Oh my gosh, I love this so much. First of all, Sew Rogue makes it sound like you are like three secret agents in a movie, which is really funny. And second of all, it just shows that you don't need a big organization to sew with others. A friend or two and a place to sew is all you really need to socialize and recharge. Also, when Stacey mentioned, like, we found a random Airbnb in the middle distance, I'm thinking, like, this is also potentially the beginning of a horror movie. Like, It's like it's true. Random Airbnb in the middle of nowhere. Three friends get together.
You're driving there and you lose your cell reception.
Yeah. And you're like, where are we? God, we brought our scissors.
It would be so fun to get away on like a neutral ground too. Like, so if you're at your house, it's obviously harder to just disconnect and relax. So the Airbnb idea is great. And if you split an Airbnb between three or four people, it can be a lot more affordable. So this is a great idea.
Helen, where do you think is the middle distance between Courtney, Vancouver, and Calgary? It's like the Rockies.
I thought you were just going to say Courtney, Vancouver. I'm like, the ocean.
Yeah. We're either swimming in the ocean or the Rockies.
The Rockies would be fun, like Jasper or something. I guess like that's pretty close to Calgary, actually.
Yeah, I don't know.
sounds nice.
Sounds really nice, yeah.
Maybe like the Kootenays.
Yeah, the Kootenays are nice. Yeah. All right, just spitballing, that's all.
I love this idea for us. It would be so fun.
Yeah. Ellie wrote, I have a long-distance sewing bestie. We traveled to skill-building workshops together.
Oh, this is great. Learning a new skill with a friend sounds wonderful. You can help each other out if you get stuck or have questions. I wonder if they ever have a hard time finding workshops that they're both interested in equally, like wanting to travel to. But I guess it doesn't really matter as long as, you know, you're hanging out and sewing together. And there's so many fun workshops out there.
Oh, Helen, remember when we hosted a workshop at Blackbird with a bunch of friends that traveled to come together?
That was so fun.
That was so sweet. All right, so some people might disagree, but we think that sewing on a video call totally counts as sewing together. In fact, we do it.
Yes.
And after all, you are still hanging out in real time. A bunch of our listeners wrote to us about their virtual socializing.
Yes. First up, we have Haley from Thready Set Go. Hi, Haley. She wrote, sewing in the company of others is such a fun and uplifting way to spend a few hours. Many of us don't have friends in real life that sew, so having in-person or online sewing meetups is amazing. I run a number of online sewing socials every week and have become a pivotal part of so many members' weeks. A lot of people can't access in-person socials either due to time commitments, health restraints. So somewhere that you can chat to other people whilst you sew without having to leave the house has become incredibly important to them. Of course, there's lots to talk about sewing, fabrics, events, etc. But we've all gotten to know each other aside from that as well. And it's become a group of friends that make time for each other every week.
Oh, this is so nice. Thready Set Go hosts live sewing socials during the week and on the weekends, and they sound like a great option for people who either don't have an in-person meetup nearby or can't make it to one for whatever reason.
Yes, I've actually done one of these events with Haley. They featured our Falconer pants a little while back, and I hopped on to one of their sewing socials to talk about the pattern and just hang out for the event, and it was really, really delightful. Like, it was just so fun seeing everybody on their computers and their sewing rooms and getting to chat with people. We broke out into smaller groups, so it was a little bit less chaotic. Like, obviously, tons of people on a Zoom call is not necessarily going to work. It's better to have a presenter and listener vibe at that point. But then we broke out into smaller little sewing circles so that we could chat and get to know each other. And I thought it was fabulous.
Oh, that's so nice. Very cool. Sarah wrote, this might be stretching your definition a little bit, but the So Guild has all-day Zoom socials on Sundays. Sometimes other days too. It's unstructured and we actually give Sarah me the day off from answering questions. She still comes to hang out sometimes. We just visit and chat about all manner of topics while we sew or work on some other sewing related activity, or even while we cook dinner. It's very come as you are for as much or as little time as you want. Being able to get to know my sewing buddies without having to pack up my machine and all other accoutrements is such a joy, and I feel like I've really been able to level up my skills while also making genuine friends.
Yes. Oh, this is so awesome. Okay, Sarah's talking about the community built and managed by former guest Saramie Duffy. And here's what Saramie had to say in response. I love seeing how the members created this monthly Zoom time and they host it themselves. It's such a testament to how much you all enjoy each other's company, and new people always feel like they can jump right in. It makes me so happy.
And if you feel nervous about jumping into an established group, don't. These groups are made up of people just like you, sewists who would like to hang out and sew and chat. And many of these groups have newbies pop in regularly, so you won't stand out too much.
Yes, it's true. It can be a bit nerve-wracking to just like hit join on a random Zoom call. You don't know what you're getting into. But the beauty of it is that you can also just hit hang up whenever you want.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, imagine. Just ghost. Come in and then you're like, actually, I'm too scared. Bye.
In my experience in these groups, lots of people don't talk. Lots of people don't turn on their cameras even. You know,
it can be
as private as you want it to be. You can participate as much as you want. I think there's low expectations for how much you're going to bring to the table in those situations. You can kind of feel it out and decide how much you want to be involved.
You know, I sometimes struggle with social anxiety and feeling like really introverted in new situations. So I could see myself like popping in no camera with like an alias the first time, just observing, and then coming in as myself the next time.
Is and that never allowed? Telling them.
Yeah. Like, who's that mysterious person? I don't know. You'll never know.
You never know.
Yeah. On the flip side, you may not even need to meet new people to sew with others. All you need is one friend or family member who can sew and a plan. Sarah wrote, "My best friend who lives about 90 minutes away and I have occasional crafty overnights where we get together at one of our houses for a sewing slumber party."
Oh, okay. That sounds amazing. Absolutely love this idea. I would be tempted to blow past my sewing curfew and just sew all night long, like 2 a.m. sewing an invisible zipper against all of my instincts.
No. Yeah, I feel like I'd have to do really easy steps in the middle of the night. Too risky.
It's so cute, though. You could plan to get up early and get sewing right away while you have your coffee. It's yeah. So smart. Mm-hmm. Haley wrote, "Of course, every possible minute I can get to the sewing room, I sew. However, recently my sister and I have started having sewing retreat sleepovers at my house. She arrives early in the morning, we sew, we fabric shop, we watch and listen to sewing content, then we have dinner and we sew some more. Once we've sewn the things, we turn on the twinkly lights, put on some tunes from the 70s to oddies, open the bar and sing and dance, gossiping and laughing at old memories. We try to align these nights with the moon cycles so we can enjoy watching the full moon rise or celebrate a seasonal solstice or equinox." Ah, the serenity.
Oh my gosh. I love this idea. I love the idea of setting it up so that it kind of lines up with the moon cycle. So witchy and wonderful.
It's so witchy. It's so smart. I love it. It's so cute. It sounds like a blast, honestly. It sounds like exactly my kind of day/night. Mm.
Yeah, I like the idea of being like, we get the sewing done and then we have a party.
Yeah.
It's like a full 24-hour affair. Yeah, you can fit a lot in. Very inspiring. Roslyn wrote, "We have sewing birthdays in our family. My aunties, cousins, and siblings get together and sew."
Oh, I love this. If you have a big sewing family, it's a great way to sew together regularly. I want to know if you do sewing themed birthday cakes, like a birthday cake that's like shaped like a dress or like...
Oh my gosh, yes.
Oh, it'd be so fun. No, this is a great idea. If you have a fellow sewist, plan a sewing birthday party.
Yes, I love it. Maybe we should do a sewing retreat for my birthday. I would love that.
Ooh, yes. And November is a great time to do a retreat because it's usually kind of rainy and you want to be cozy inside. Mm-hmm, let's do it.
Yeah. All right. Even though these themed events are inspiring, it's totally okay to just keep it simple and relaxed. Hillendale Quilts wrote, "Bring quilt binding to the porch and my aunt will 100% offer to hand stitch binding with me."
Ooh, this is ideal. I'm envisioning a sunny afternoon, some iced tea, some juicy gossip, yes, sitting on the porch. You've got your blanket built in when you're doing hand binding.
So cute. I love it.
Lexi wrote, "My friends do sew nights where we hang out and do the sewing tasks we hate to get motivated."
Yes, this seems like a great way to procrastinate. Like, I'm about to do the sewing step I hate, so let's just save it for sew night. But then you get it done in the end. It's definitely easier to do an annoying sewing step when you've got fun people cheering you on.
Yeah, I could see this being really fun.
Yeah.
To close out this episode, we have, I think, our best voicemail ever.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
We're going to let Mary and Claire take it from here.
Hi, Carolyn. Hi, Helen. This is Mary.
And I'm Claire.
We are two sewing buddies who met about 12 years ago while working at the same sewing shop in our city. We spent countless hours at work discussing all things sewing, and we've continued this love even though we have both retired and live in different cities. We meet up once a month, today at my house, and the kitchen becomes our workroom. Machines, patterns, thread, etc. festoon the floor, tables, and chairs.
We even have a mission statement, but coffee first.
Discussions and show and tell begin our day. Machines are ready, but not often used. Iron is plugged in and snacks cover the table. We break for lunch, more coffee, chocolate, and then we may get to do some actual sewing.
We plan when our next guild weeding will be, and sometimes it's a road trip to a thrift shop, attending a workshop, a new spot to purchase fabric, etc. Always, though, with a mission statement, but coffee first.
Our other talent, however, is making up short videos, songs, and ditties. So we've written a little song that sums up our IRL time together. Full disclosure, our vintage status had us look up what IRL stands for. This is a song by Mary and Claire called We Need a Little Sewing, with apologies to We Need a Little Christmas.
Pull out the fabric, pick out the pattern, make a shirt.
No, a coat again.
You pour the coffee.
I'll get the pins and pattern.
Clear the table, we're on. For we need a little sewing right this very minute. Machines are primed and ready.
Pattern's out, yes, I can pin it.
Need to get the iron.
Got the interfacing.
You can cut, I'll mark the fabric. Get the spray bomb, we've got static. Fill up the bobbins. Replace the needle. Shoot, oh no, where's the foot control?
I'll thread the serger. Go get the dress form.
Oh my gosh, we are so on a roll. For we've grown a little closer, grown a little smarter, learned a lot from YouTube. Challenge one another, we still need to get together. Keep each other going, we need a little sewing now. Let's plan a road trip, I need a dress this summer. Got some good ideas.
Silk, linen, cotton, a simple pattern.
Something we can sew in a day. Cause we need to get together, keep the sewing going. Keep each other busy, get each other motivated, sharpen up your scissors. See you next week, Wednesday. We need a little sewing now. But coffee first.
But coffee first.
Oh, I loved it so much. It was in my head all day after I first heard it. I was like walking around my house like, need a little sewing, got to get together.
It's so good.
It's so good. Gosh. Mary and Claire, absolute friendship goals. I loved it so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. I think we're going to have to add write a sewing themed song to the docket for our next sewing session, Ellen.
Oh my God. It'll be so fun. And if anyone else out there wants to write a sewing song and send it in, we will play it on the show.
Oh, 100%. Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. So there are so many fun ways to sew with others, whether it's meeting new people at an established organization, inviting your loved ones over for a few hours, or setting up your tablet and getting on Zoom. We hope this episode inspires you to try it out. It definitely inspired me. I want to do some more sewing IRL.
We have to schedule our next Zoom sewing date. We haven't had one in a little while, so
Let's gotta do that.
And I'm loving the idea of a sewing birthday retreat,
Caroline. Yes, let's need do to it. Do
that. Da, 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 that's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. You can find me, Helen, at Helen's Closet Patterns and Cedar Quilt Co., and Caroline at Blackbird Fabrics and BF Patterns. We're recording in beautiful British Columbia, Canada.
You can support Love to Sew and get access to bonus content by subscribing on Patreon or Apple Podcasts. You even get access to the back catalog of bonus episodes. That's over 75 hours of Love to Sew. Go to patreon.com/lovetosew or check out our podcast page on Apple Podcasts for more info.
Head to lovetosewpodcast.com to find our show notes. There newsletter filled with links and pictures from this episode. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, leave us a message at 1-844-SO-WHAT. That's 1-844-739-9428. Preferably do it in song, please. Or you can send us an email at hello@lovedsopodcast.com.
Thank you to our amazing podcast team for a great season. Lisa Ruiz is our creative assistant and Jordan Moore of the Pod Cabin is our editor. And thank you all for listening. We will talk to you next season.
Next season. And over on Patreon. Bye-bye.
Bye. Da 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 da.